Thank you so much as we settle in today. I'm really excited about this series because you guys all know that I am a huge geek, right? This is not hard for me to do. This is not hard for me to do at all. I think this is a great exercise because there hasn't always been a good relationship between the church and the movie theater. I told you guys last week, I can remember when I was in college, we were told that we weren't allowed to go to the movie theater. You kids here in Bible college, man, you cannot go. You weren't allowed to go to the movie theater. And I remember one time the dean of men saying, "Nothing good comes out of Hollywood." Well, I get where he's coming from because there's a lot of bad things coming out of Hollywood. But there's a lot of things coming out of Hollywood because God has put eternity into the heart of men. And for that reason, there's actually a lot of interesting things coming out of Hollywood. We've been telling the same story for 2,000 years. And today we're going to look at one of my favorite movie franchises of all time. To kick it off, check this out.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed. The ability to destroy a planet is insignificant next to the power of the Force.
Don't try to frighten us with your sorcerer's ways, Lord Vader. Your sad devotion to that ancient religion has not helped you conjure up the stolen data tapes, or given you clairvoyance enough to find the rebels' hidden fort.
Your lack of faith disturbing.
Enough of this. Vader, release him.
As you wish.
Every preacher in here, can I get a witness? 29 years of ministry, I've sat in some church business meetings where I really wished I was able to have that ability. Well, if you haven't guessed it, I'm digging really deep into the Nerd Vault this morning as we continue to explore faith and film. Today, we're going to look at the Gospel according to Star Wars. If you have your Bibles, open up to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians is in the New Testament. This is an epistle, a letter written by the Apostle Paul. Paul was a follower of Jesus. He didn't come to Christ until after the resurrection. So Paul's perspective is really interesting, I think. Oftentimes when we read what he had to write in the epistles, you have to understand that he writes it as someone who wasn't following Jesus during the Lord's earthly ministry. He didn't come to Christ until after the resurrection. And he gives us much of what we read in the New Testament. Most of the New Testament was actually penned as letters to churches by the Apostle Paul. So today we're going to look at the Gospel according to Star Wars. Let me give you a little background as you're finding Colossians chapter 1. What started out as three films, the first premiering in 1977, has gone on to become one of the most valued and valuable movie franchises of all time. With the rise of Skywalker, which is coming later this year, and all you Star Wars nerds said, "Woo!" Star Wars boasts 11 live-action films, as well as a number of television productions, including what I think is one of the best and certainly one of the most popular animated series ever produced. There's a lot here to mine, guys, with that kind of content. 11 live-action films and a bunch of TV productions. There's a ton of things that I could mine. I could do at least a six-part series on Star Wars alone, looking at the gospel message, the message of the Bible through the lens of Star Wars. I really could. I could do a whole series on this, but we're going to try to zero in on something here. The movie, as well as the novelizations and comic books, they lean heavily on the good versus evil theme with a strong dose of spirituality as it explores the two sides of the Force. All right. The Force, for those of you who don't watch Star Wars movies, is a mystic power that binds everything in the universe together. The Jedi are the guardians of the light side, and they have to battle the Sith. The Sith is always one master and one student who use the Force for evil. All right? Of course, as Obi-Wan would say, that's from a certain point of view. You Star Wars nerds ought to get that. The rest of you, it's an inside joke. Just laugh and pretend you understood. I read an article years before we got the prequel movies. It was an interview with creator George Lucas where he readily admitted to drawing inspiration from, quote, religion. As he revealed something that even the most hardcore fans may not realize, the original three films, we're talking about what you Star Wars fans know as New Hope, and Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. Star Wars episodes 4, 5, and 6. That original trilogy, of films had a single central thread that, like the Force, holds everything together. According to George Lucas, the original three films tell the story of redemption. So, if you don't get anything else I have to say today, I want you to get this. Not so long ago, in a galaxy not so far away, God arranged to redeem and deliver you from the domain of darkness. Let me say that again. Not so long ago, in a galaxy not so far away, God arranged to redeem and deliver you from the domain of darkness. The Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Colossians in chapter 1, I'm going to start reading at verse 11. He writes, "May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." Verse 13, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." Father, thank you for your word, for thy word is truth. And I pray that that truth will find fertile soil today as you show us, God, from your word and from the stories we tell, that man longs to be redeemed. And remind us today that you sent a redeemer. You sent a redeemer to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And it is in him we live and move and have our being. For it is in His name, that name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. A moment ago, I told you that Star Wars creator George Lucas said in an interview that the original Star Wars movies tells the story of redemption. Well, specifically, it tells the story of the redemption of Anakin Skywalker. Now, I contend, and you fellow geeks are welcome to talk with me about this after church, I contend that Anakin Skywalker is the central character of the entire Star Wars saga. If the original trilogy tells the story of his redemption, according to George Lucas, that's not me, that's George. Uncle George says, original trilogy tells the story of the redemption of Anakin Skywalker. So if that's true, then the prequel is the story of his origin and fall. And the current trilogy of films is all about his legacy. Legacy. Now, I got to be honest. While my playtime as a boy, can you all imagine me as a boy? I had hair. My playtime as a boy in a Sleepy River town in West Virginia, while it was consumed with being the heroic Luke Skywalker, the son of Anakin. The reality is that the story of Anakin Skywalker is more my story. And by the way, it's your story too. It's your story too. You see, Anakin Skywalker was born a slave. Let's see Anakin. There he is. Young Anakin Skywalker, that adorable little boy there, was born a slave. A Jedi bargained for his freedom because he recognized his potential, believing Anakin to be the chosen one from a Jedi prophecy. He trained as a Jedi and he became a hero in the Galactic Republic. Now I want to look at verse 12 and 13 here from our text. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. It sounds like something that you might find in some ancient Jedi text. We're talking about inheritance of the saints in light, the light side of the Force. And it talks about being delivered from the domain of darkness, the dark side. So this idea of light and dark isn't unique to Star Wars. It's inherent in the story that God put in our heart. It's inherent in the story that God put in our heart. You see, church, there are two powerful forces. Force. Okay. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm feeling like the Star Wars fans are being really quiet this morning. That's either I really got you or you're just like, yeah, anyway. There are two powerful forces contending for control of your life. Make no mistake about it. There is no neutral here. Two powerful forces contending, fighting for control of your life. In this clip we're about to watch, Anakin has broken his Jedi vow. He's married in secret. Anakin is plagued by visions of his wife Padme's death. Fear, which has been his adversary much of his life, is suddenly causing him to question his beliefs. So he turns to the Chancellor, Palpatine, whom he has known since he was a young boy. Palpatine is a wolf in sheep's clothing. He is a Sith Lord disguised as a politician. Check this out.
The Sith and the Jedi are similar in almost every way, including their quest for greater power.
The Sith rely on their passion for their strength. They think inwards, only about themselves.
And the Jedi don't.
The Jedi are selfless. They only care about others.
Did you ever hear the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise?
No.
I thought not. It's not a story the Jedi would tell you. It's a Sith legend. Darth Plagueis was a dark lord of the Sith, so powerful and so wise, he could use the Force to influence the midichlorians to create life. He had such a knowledge of the dark side, he could even keep the ones he cared about from dying.
He could actually save people from death.
The dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural.
Well, what happened to him?
He became so powerful. The only thing he was afraid of was losing his power, which eventually, of course, he did. Unfortunately, he taught his apprentice everything he knew. Then his apprentice killed him in his sleep. It's ironic. He could save others from death, but not himself.
Is it possible to learn this power?
Not from a Jedi.
I think if Master Yoda were here, he would say something like, "Your counselors choose carefully, you should." You see, Anakin is struggling. He's asking questions. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with asking questions. Nothing wrong with asking questions. I think it's good sometimes for us to stop and ask questions. Because if we don't ask questions, we don't learn truth. But we have to be careful, especially when you're in crisis. You have to be careful about where you get your counsel from. You see, the devil, like our Sith Master Palpatine, knows your weakness. He knows how to manipulate you, often disguising himself as an angel of light to lead you away from the Lord. Be careful. Be careful where you get your counsel, especially in crisis. Many of the things that Darth Sidious there was saying to Anakin, did it sound familiar? When Jesus was hanging on the cross, what were they saying? He could save others, but he cannot save himself. You see, that's one of the devil's favorite lines. Because basically what it does is it calls into question God's power. And by the way, the devil's been doing that since the garden. The unfortunate thing is that we live in a time when many Christians believe that lie. That God's power is somehow limited. And we put God in this box and we say, you know, God can do this, this, and this, but I can't count on God to do this, this, and this. Let me tell you something. You can count on God. You can count on God. And so Anakin falls. He betrays his order. He participates in the eradication of the Jedi. And he faces off against Obi-Wan Kenobi, his teacher and friend. Now I have to say, at the end of this epic battle scene, with dialogue, by the way, that could have come right out of Scripture, against a backdrop that pretty much looked like the belly of hell itself, Mustafar, Kenobi has won, but he cannot bring himself to finish Anakin off. And he leaves him to die, badly burned and gravely injured. But Palpatine shows up and has other plans. He saves him, and he puts what little remained of his body into the jet black facade that you and I all know. Give me that Vader theme. Anakin Skywalker becomes Darth Vader. That cute little boy that we saw in that slide earlier grows up to be that. Well, let me tell you something. At one time, Adolf Hitler was a cute little boy. Anakin Skywalker, though he is the evilest of evil, is now once again a slave. He is a slave to his evil Sith master. You see, church, We have all been sold as a slave to sin. All of us. His suit, by the way, that menacing jet black suit, is nothing more than a symbol of his bondage. I don't have time to break this down. All ye geeks, seek me out and talk we shall about that. Because there's a lot about that suit that symbolizes the bondage. Listen, it's not his freedom, it is his bondage. It is a symbol of his bondage. He's become a dependent to what Paul calls here the domain of darkness. He's subservient to it. I want to pause here a second because we see something in verse 13. It says, "But He," that's Jesus, "has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son." And the reason I want to pause here is because the words that follow in verse 14 are nothing but earth-shattering. And they are this: "In whom we have redemption." Every man, woman, boy, and girl longs for redemption. We love redemption stories. We flock to movie theaters to see redemption stories. Star Wars is nothing but a redemption story. Everybody say that word, redemption. You know, when I was a boy, we were incredibly poor. Incredibly poor. And I'd do all kinds of things to make a buck. For instance, back then, soda pop came in glass bottles. How many of y'all remember soda pop in glass bottles? And so, each of those glass bottles would fetch a dime. They were worth a dime. Some of you probably remember when they were worth less than that. 3 cents? 3 cents. Anybody can beat 3 cents? 2 cents! You're officially like the oldest dude here. Ken will pay you later. 2 cents. Well, in my day, it was 10 cents. And so they came in 8-pack bottles. So an 8-pack case of them, that was worth 80 cents. 80 cents. And so, you know, I'd go around and I'd collect bottles out of trash cans. And so you take those down to a grocery store or to a gas station and you would trade them in, right? And sometimes you'd get 80 cents and sometimes you'd get 80 cents of snacks, which back then for me was 2 Marathon bars and a fountain soda pop. 80 cents. Yes, yes, it's true. 25-cent candy bar, baby. Woo! I miss Marathon bars, by the way. It was like a braid of caramel wrapped in chocolate. It was just, whew, good stuff. Good stuff. I would trade the bottles, sometimes for 80 cents, sometimes for 2 Marathon candy bars and a small fountain drink. So my idea of redemption, because that's what they called it, you're redeeming your bottles for 80 cents or 2 candy bars and a soda pop. So, in my mind, that word redemption meant to trade. But that's not what redemption means. Redemption means to buy back. To buy back. A lot of people don't know this, but Dorinda has an adopted brother. And I remember one time, Lee was into all kinds of no good, including a very nasty recreational drug problem that was destroying his life. Dorinda's mom was a preacher. She pastored a church in a small country town, and she had been preaching since she was a teenage girl. And Dorinda's mom really embodied a lot of the what I call old school values of the church. So this idea, first of all, that she has a son who has a recreational drug problem, that was tough enough for her to deal with. But I will never forget, Dorinda's mom had this beautiful old 12-string guitar. And that guitar was worth a pretty penny. And so Dorinda's brother stole it and pawned it. We couldn't believe it. We could not believe it. And she called us and told us about it. We were in shock. I mean, we knew he had problems, but to resort to stealing something that his mother cherished and to take it and sell it to a pawn shop so he could have money to buy drugs was just mind-boggling to me. And I will never forget, Dorinda's mom made a big deal because she had never been into a pawn shop before. Pawn shops were seedy places to her. Remember, old school church? Nothing good happened in pawn shops. And now her son has taken her prized 12-string guitar and pawned it. He hawked it for money to buy drugs. And so she made a big deal about how she had never been in a pawn shop before. I will never forget how she went to the pawn shop to buy back her 12-string guitar. Church, that's redemption. That is a picture of redemption. Something she valued was sold off for pennies on the dollar of its worth. The reality is that you and I have been sold as slaves to sin for pennies on the dollar of your worth. You are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're royalty, joint heirs with Jesus. Creations of God. And He loves you so much that He has every hair on your head counted. And we sell ourselves off so cheaply for whatever the quick fix is of the moment. For some people, that's internet pornography. For other people, it might be a drug addiction. For some people, it might be gossiping and tale-bearing. Every one of us has something we struggle with. I call them pet sins. And we pick them up and we stroke them from time to time. And we love on them a little bit. Sometimes a little bit too much. The reality is that every time we give in to sin, we are selling ourselves off for pennies on the dollar of our worth. But Jesus came to buy us back. Real quick, the Greek word agorazo means literally the marketplace for slaves. Okay? Remember that. Agorazo, the marketplace for slaves. We see this word agorazo at the root of words that are often translated in the New Testament as redeemed. In Revelation 5:9, John, one of the disciples of the Lord, John sees through a window into heaven, and he can see a moment in the future as Jesus prepares to return to earth. He's returning to earth, church. He's returning to earth. And John gets to see through the window of heaven into the future and see what's going on in heaven as Jesus prepares to return to earth. John's describing the worship in heaven that he witnesses, and he writes in Revelation 5:9, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation.'" The root of that word redeemed is that word I just told you, agorazo. They're saying literally that Jesus entered the marketplace for slaves. Again, here in Colossians, in verse 13, He delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Again, there's that word. And it's rendered as ex argo adzo. By adding the prefix ex, you get out of the marketplace for slaves. So in Revelation 5:9, they said, you went into the marketplace of slaves. Here in Colossians, he's saying, and you came out. You sent us out of the marketplace for slaves. You see, He became a slave. He, Jesus, became a slave. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:21 supports that by saying this, for our sake, He, that's God the Father, made Him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might believe, become the righteousness of God. Now, church, I got to say that slavery is the greatest atrocity, I believe, that has ever been perpetrated by man against his fellow man. I don't have words to describe how sick a concept that is. I don't think it's serendipitous that the Holy Spirit uses the horrific imagery of slavery in His Word to convey just how dark a thing it is to be lost in our sin. We're literally slaves to the domain of darkness. You see, church, there is no gray area here. You are either sharing in the inheritance of the saints in light, or you are enslaved by the domain of darkness. There is no gray neutral zone here. And it would seem for Anakin Skywalker, he is all but lost. Enter the Son. Luke Skywalker, the hero of the original trilogy of movies. Luke Skywalker, the son of Anakin and Padme. He was raised, get this, on the same planet that Anakin was enslaved on. Sounds like another Redeemer that we know. Amen? He came to the same planet that you and I were enslaved upon. The Bible says that He came in flesh and blood. We call that the incarnation. God becoming man. He was 100% God and still 100% man. And John said, and we beheld His glory. Hallelujah. Raised on the same planet, he becomes a Jedi and he discovers the truth about who his father really is. It's iconic movie fodder, people. Luke, say it with me. I am your father. And Luke says, no! It's not true. I'll never join you. But you know, after he has time to come to grips with all that, maybe some counseling, I'm not sure. Luke comes to grips with it. And when he comes to grips with it, he decides to set out to redeem his fallen father. So in the movie Return of the Jedi, Luke literally goes into the belly of the beast to face the Sith and save his father Anakin. But it doesn't seem that things are going so well for him. Check this out.
Skywalker, you will die.
So remember, Revelation 5:9 says that Christ has redeemed us by His blood. We call the remembrance of that dark day Good Friday. We just celebrated it a couple of months ago. Now, I understand why we call it Good Friday. It's the day that sin was defeated. There was no epic lightsaber duel, no edge of your seat space battles, no pew pew pew. None of that. In that moment, nothing about it could be characterized as good. He was betrayed. Are you ready for this? For the price of a gourd slave. He was stripped down. Not so much as a loincloth to cover him. He was beaten. He was mocked. And by the way, if you're a reader of history, you go back and you read what happened at slave markets. The sick things that were done by men to their fellow men. This sounds very familiar. Stripped down, mocked, beaten, His arms dislocated as they nailed His hands and feet to a cross. There was blood. There was torture. And then there was death. But because of the cross, church, you and I get to choose. You get to choose. Vader got a choice. You have a choice. We can watch on and do nothing and die in darkness, or we can accept the sacrifice on our behalf and reject the darkness. To, as verse 12 puts it, share in the inheritance of the saints in life. You see, church, Jesus went in. So we could get out. Let me say that again. Jesus went in so you and I could get out. And we see that played out on the big screen in Return of the Jedi. Luke went in so he could redeem Anakin Skywalker and get him out. Paul says in verse 14, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Fanny Crosby, one of the most prolific hymn writers, puts it like this. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. His child and forever I am. If you're a child of God this morning, give Him praise. We are redeemed. We are redeemed because He went in so we could get out. Here's a final clip, a final scene from Return of the Jedi.
This master.
But you'll die.
Nothing can stop that now. Just for once, let me look on you with my own eyes.
Leave you here. I've got to save you.
You already have. Look, you were right. You were right about me. Tell your sister. You were right.
God has put eternity in our hearts, and once more the story of man's fall and redemption find their way onto the silver screen in blockbuster fashion. But, church, like most retellings, it doesn't compare to the original. No comparison. You and I have been redeemed by the Son who gave His life for ours. Star Wars tells a powerful story of good overcoming evil with the help of the Force. The truth is, church, evil has been overcome. Jesus said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And He goes on to say, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Does redemption and forgiveness of sin provide an excuse for us to just continue sinning? Well, Paul answered that very question in Romans chapter 6 with two words. God forbid. Grace may be free, but it wasn't cheap. Anakin finally made the right choice. He picked himself up and he rejected the darkness and embraced the light. You don't have to be a slave to sin and darkness. Jesus went in so you and I could get out. This is called the doctrine of redemption, and it is the cornerstone of faith for the Christian church. And we see it in many of the films that are made by Hollywood. Why? Because the heart of man is crying out for redemption. And like Anakin Skywalker, you have a choice. To reject the darkness and embrace the light. Because Jesus came and redeemed you by His blood. Let's stand. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. You know, I'm still getting to know folks this morning as we bow prayerfully. Reality is, for some of you, I've got to hear your testimonies, and you've shared with me how you first came to the Lord. But the reality is, I don't know that for all of you. So I just cannot take for granted this morning that everyone here under the sound of my voice has made that choice in your life to accept Christ's sacrifice on the cross, to surrender your heart to the Lord Jesus. So if you're here this morning, you may have made some terrible choices in your life, but today can be a new beginning. You can make the choice this morning to accept the cross, to accept Christ, believing that He is the Son of God who gave His life, who rose from the dead, and He did that for you. You can accept that today by just inviting Christ into your life, confessing your sins. You just say, Lord Jesus, I believe. I'm a sinner. And in this moment, I turn from my sin and I embrace You. And I embrace Your sacrifice. I accept Your sacrifice on my behalf. And in Your strength, today is a new beginning. You can pray that prayer right where you're at, or you're welcome to come this morning and pray here. If you want to come and pray here, I promise you somebody will be here to meet you at the altar to pray with you. Maybe you've made that choice for your life, but you know, somewhere along the lines, you began to question. Maybe sins creeped back in. It happens. But John said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, Christ's sacrifice on the cross, that was once and for all time. So you can confess and repent to turn away from that sin. Just like Darth Vader, he grabbed a hold of that darkness and he threw it out. You can do that today and start new. Maybe you know somebody this morning that needs redemption. You can pray for them as well. I just want to give you a moment to pray. Father, thank You for redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not because of anything that we've done. It's all because of what You've done. That those of us who are saved can stand here today and say, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I pray that that is the proclamation of every man, woman, boy, and girl under the sound of my voice this morning. If there's even one here today, Lord, who can't say those words, I pray that the sun will not set today until they contemplate Your word and they embrace the Son of God who went in so they could get out. Thank You so much for what You're doing in our church. Continue to work and move. Continue to touch hearts and change lives. Continue, God, to empower us to reach the lost for Christ, to build one another up in the Lord. Thank You for this church. We love You today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and draw, and then we're going to sing a song and be dismissed.